and spirit. It's not going to be anything you never heard before, but I want to assure you that God's desire for us is that we carry His glory. And that does not come without us paying a price for it. It's not cheap grace. We have to lay down our flesh lives in order to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to read Smith Wigglesworth. Did we get any of this, Stephen? Anyway. I have a devotional by Smith Wigglesworth. I don't read it every day, but for a while I was reading it every day. And every devotional day is a challenge to walk closer with the Lord. This is one of his quotes. Our desire is to be witnesses of the full truth. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer every day. That's the way I look at it. Smith Wigglesworth walked in the power of God. John G. Lake walked in the power of God. There are John Wimber walked in the power of God. John Arnott walked in the power of God. Randy Clark walks in the power of God. Some of them are still alive. So the disciples walked in the power of God. It's all in the Word. It's all in here. See, so the more of this we get in us, the more power we're going to have and the more purity. And the word the Lord had given me at the beginning of this year was purity. So I've been pursuing the Lord and asking Him, what does He mean by that? It was confirmed by another member of our church, so it was kind of like the same day I was shaking my head. But you know, the pure in heart see God. Lord, I see You with the eyes of my heart. I can move in power when I've heard the Lord speak to me. When He speaks to my heart, His voice talking to me, then I can move in power. If I haven't heard from Him, then I'm going to wait until I hear from Him in whatever situation and circumstance I find myself in. Our desire is to be witnesses of the full truth. This is my desire. This is Pastor Roy's desire. I'm assuming it's your desire. The fullness of redemption, the full deliverance from the power of sin and disease, who can claim their territory because of the eternal power working in them. Eternal life beautifully, gloriously filling our body until the body, this body at RCF, because this is who we're responsible for. We're responsible for our own bodies. And Pastor Roy and I, as pastors, we're responsible for you. And guess what? You're responsible for each other. There are a lot of people that have come and gone in this church and have left and have, you know, moved away and then come back. You know, I'm not responsible for them anymore if they have left. I'm responsible for you guys. And if I split myself in five and start taking care of all these other people and not saying that I don't bless as God calls me, then I'm not going to be here for you. So my function as a pastor is to pastor the people here in this church. Pastor Roy feels the same way. So I just want you to know that I cherish every one of you. I thank God for every one of you. I pray for every one of you. And I know that the Lord is working in your life. I know He is. He spoke something beautifully to me this morning, that this church is thriving and that we have taught every one of you well. You have all the tools to overcome. And as a pastor, there's nothing better or more amazing that God could say to me. That's like saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And I know that it's not me. I know it's the Lord. My husband and I have laid our lives down. I gave Him again. Say, how many times can you give your life to the Lord? Well, every day. How about that? The eternal life beautifully, gloriously, every moment, filling the body until the body is filled with the life of the Spirit. That's what we each want. We want to be so filled with the life of the Spirit that we are God. God is seen in us. The Christ within, the hope of glory. We're not God, big G, but we're sons of God, little s. We are still walking. There's only one Son of God. His name is Jesus, but He's the firstborn of many brethren. So we can look and say, what is Jesus doing? We can do that. We can do that. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in us. We can be ministers of that kind, filled with the life of the Spirit. We were created by God to bring Him glory, and He has promised to reveal Himself to us. Glory means the true expression of something. So if you want to be the glory of God, then you need to be the true expression of God. Not your fleshly thinking or your religious practices, but the true glory of God, which is Him and Him only. Nothing, no mix. We were created to be so filled with God and so free from our fleshly self-life that His glory would be seen. Glory will be seen. Glory is seen. God is calling us in Isaiah 43:6. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. God is calling us. He's always calling us to Himself. Not just you, but every soul that you run into. Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them a heart to know, recognize, understand, and be acquainted with me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. Don Potter wrote a song and sang a song from that portion of Scripture called Give Them Up. And he was singing, give them up, give them up. He was speaking and declaring to the enemy, give them up. Those are God's people. You can't have them. And we can say that to those that we are in contact with who are in bondage. Devil, you give them up. Amen. Give them up. Amen. Because God wants them. Listen, you are not going to be filled completely with the presence of the Lord if you're not pressing in to get Him and to be with Him. There's a cost. You have to press in. You can't just say, oh, I'm a Christian. And then when the chips fall and they're getting worse, aren't they? Where is God? Well, where is God? Where are you meeting Him? How many times have you cried out and asked Him to help? You got to press in until you overcome, until you win, because He's given us what we need to win, right? So Hebrews 12:27, let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable. I love that sense of being stable. Cannot be shaken. Offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. Many Christians have forgotten the fear of God. They have forgotten to be in awe of the living, breathing Creator. God sent His Son Jesus to show us how to live, and He sent us the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to supply us, right, with everything that we need. The Holy Spirit comes in when we are born again and is able to supply us with whatever we need. Everything. Healing, deliverance, salvation, sanctification, justification. Now listen, if you don't come to God with the understanding that you're loved, you're going to have a hard time worshiping Him. If you don't know that Jesus loves you, you're going to have a hard time worshiping Him. You got to come to God believing and knowing that He accepts you just the way you are. All those voices of the accuser, voices of friends, this one, that one, your own voice, judging, bringing you to court over and over again. Wait a minute. No, no, no. Jesus already went to court and He justified us. Because He died on the cross, He took all of our sins, and He rose again. So we don't have to be constantly in this place of even judging ourselves and judging everybody around us and, are we good enough? No, no. You are good enough because God loves you. Amen. He loves you just the way you are. He also loves you enough to continue to work on you. You know, there's a song I used to sing to my kids, He's still working on me. And they were singing, and now they're singing it to their kids. Because He is still working on us. He has promised to finish the work that He started. We can ask and expect God to accept us because of what Jesus did. He shed his blood to cover our sin nature and our self-life. And Jesus paid the price so that we could be reunited with Abba Father. That's the whole message of the gospel. It's not this mysterious thing that we have to explain, you know, all this is and that's, and take the Bible and beat people over the head with it. No, simply, God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus because you were born into sin and you need that sin covered. And Jesus shed his blood so that you could be free. And that acceptance and that understanding of what Jesus did brings us into a place of acceptance. No matter what we've done, right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. The only person whose opinion really counts, you listening to me? The only person whose opinion really counts looks at us and finds us more valuable than all the jewels on the earth. We're his treasure. We're his treasure. He is waiting like this with his arms open. Come! Let me give you everything I have for you. Everything I have won for you. So I'm going to talk about godly patterns and I'm going to talk about fleshly patterns. We have all been here at RCF. We know. But you know what? We need to remember, even in that song, Kiss the Sun, a man named Kevin Prash did that song. The first time I heard that song, I just openly wept and sobbed because at that point in my life, I was going through a tremendous breaking and over again being broken. And people were looking at me and I was rejoicing and thanking God because I was very strong-willed. Probably still am very strong-willed. But my will has been surrendered and submitted to the Lord. So he's very strong because my will has been broken. God is so holy inside of me that I can't sin. Can you say that? God is so holy inside of me that I can't sin. When I start to move in any kind of direction of sin, I am forced because of his holiness that is inside of me, that he's built this huge castle inside of me that I can't. That's where we want to be. And then we want to be filled up with more. Filled up with more. Filled up with more. There's immediate repentance. Just because he's so amazing and that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be his sons and daughters. I'm not boasting in that. Just telling you, I'm so dead and I want more dead. So when you've been broken and God's crushed you and people would say, oh, what's happening to you? It's so terrible. I said, no, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus! And I still say that. Thank you, Jesus, that you're breaking me. Every time I say no to my flesh, a little more power of Jesus comes in. Sometimes I choose to say no to my flesh so I can have a little more power of Jesus coming inside of me. I count it. Every no is a yes in the kingdom, you see? Here's the godly pattern. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. In between author and finisher is the sanctification process. So we have to be able to trust God with that in-between part, right? That's where we go to the cross with the... See, if you know what your patterns are, I know my patterns. Then you're able to take it to the cross the minute that ugly thing rears its head. You know, it's like that bop-em, whack-a-mole. The Lord gave me that vision in prayer. We were praying for the women's retreat. And I couldn't remember what it was until after the retreat. What's a whack-a-mole? It's one of those games. And that thing keeps popping up. And they got big, you know what? The Holy Spirit has a cudgel. He already has a cudgel, and he whacks everything that's not from him. The enemy has a cudgel, too, and he'll want to whack you, too. But God's is bigger. Much bigger. So you can tell the devil to shut up. It's the only time I say shut up. I tell my flesh, shh. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he He endured the cross. You know, it's painful to take your flesh to the cross, but there's a joy on the other side that can't be measured in the death of that flesh. He endured the cross. Oh, and we have to endure the cross. Despise the shame. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This verse implies a finished work. Jesus sat down, but it also talks about our walk, which is that in-between author and finisher, right? So look to Jesus, expect him to perfect you, right? The author and perfecter of our faith. Embrace the joy, endure the cross, and expect the victory. This is a verse I've been, actually this entire message came out of this verse. I've been meditating on it. It's Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength. He's my personal bravery. My invincible army. You can't lose. My invincible army. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery in my life, in the things that I'm struggling with, my personal bravery, my invincible army. He has given me an indestructible life. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me walk. See, it's a walk. Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking in the garden. That means they heard the voice, means that you can hear the voice of God. You are supposed to be hearing the voice of God. If you're anywhere with anybody that tells you you can't hear from God today, get out of there and run. They heard the voice of God, and the voice of God was walking. Means that there's movement in our relationship with the Lord. There's growth. He will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror. But to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places. In this version, it describes the high places as places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. Now listen, this suffering is not that you got sick. God does not send disease to punish you or to teach you a lesson. I'll tell you that. I've been teaching you that for many, many years, and I will continue to stand on that, because every time I pray, and I hurt my foot at the retreat, and God healed it yesterday. I have been walking and suffering and walk and saying, no, 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 and my husband praying for me, and you know what? I'm healed. You see me walking. Look at her. She's walking. That's some kind of doll or something. Anyway, make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble. The scripture says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So as you're going through trouble, if you trust Jesus and start crying out to him, he immediately comes and starts to work. If you go, oh my God, what's happening? Why is this happening? See, you're in the flesh. God's not going to come and answer that cry. Because that's your flesh. He wants to hear your spirit, man, in union with him. He's doing a work. Setting our walk right, breaking, crucifying, cleansing. Oh, really? Yes. And it all has one purpose. And that one purpose is that we would be his chosen dwelling place. For his presence, for his glory. It's here, so it's going to be now. Think about a glass, and a glass is dirty. I mean dirty. Let's say it's got sediment in it from outside. You've been gardening, you drank some water, and all this dirt is left in there because the guys came and did the lawn, and there's dirt all inside of this glass. I'm really painting a picture. You bring the glass. I wanted to bring one. I forgot. If you bring the glass in the house and you put it under the faucet and you run some water on it, is it going to get clean? One time you pour it under, you put it under the glass, under the water, is it going to get clean? No. There's still sediment left. The sides of it are still dirty. You know, so you put it under there again two or three times, maybe four times, maybe five times. There's still dirt in the glass. If you put it under there with hot water, continuously running from the faucet into that glass, it will be clean. That's why we have to continually washing of the water by the word. Continuously repeating and speaking and declaring what the word of God says. Even before you feel it in your flesh, you speak it out loud and God begins to move prophetically in your life as you're speaking and declaring, I am going to lose 30 pounds over the next whatever. And yes, I did. But I didn't start that way. I started just saying it out loud. I said, I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to go around the block. And I remember many years ago when I first started walking around the block, I couldn't even make it around the block one time. Now I don't even think about it. I am walking the dog around the block two or three times, talking to everybody. You know, it doesn't start there. It starts where, oh my God, I need you. Where are you? Help me. Help! Psalm 12. Listen, this is Francis Frangipane. At some phase, and I even, you know, differ a little bit with what he's saying, I think all the time, not just at some point, but some points it's a little more difficult than others. It's a little more intense. At some phase in each of our lives, we all have to be confronted with the impurities of our hearts. The Holy Spirit reveals our sinfulness not to condemn us, but to establish humility and deepen the knowledge of our personal need for grace. It is at this crossroad that both holy men and hypocrites are bred. Those who become holy see their need and fall prostrate before God for deliverance. So we need to prophetically begin to see ourselves following godly patterns. Even if we're not following godly patterns, we need to start seeing ourselves in the spirit realm and choosing to follow godly patterns. The patterns that he laid down. You know, I did a whole study on the Heinz feed on high places. I've read all of Hannah Hernad's books, all of her books. They're just beautiful. But the first one I read was Heinz feed on high places. It was a long time ago. The study of a hind, or it's either a deer or a mountain goat, they perch. They've been created, as we have been, to overcome. They've been created to leap on these mountains and to go from one place to the next place. And the way God created them was that their two front paws go on the next precipice, and the back paws immediately, succinctly end up in the same place as they move to the next spot. So there's a very concise and precise way that God created those goats, those deer, the red deer also, I read somewhere else. And it's the same for us. He's created us to win. We are continually and progressively purified, cleansed, delivered, set free, abandoning fleshly patterns and allowing him to forge godly patterns in us. This is our choice. That's why we are not to judge one another, because I may be struggling with something that you've already overcome, and if you look at me and make a judgment against me, then you're not going to be loving me. You need to be loving every soul and expecting that they're going to come through, and you may not have the whole picture either. Psalm 51. Listen. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. No sin is impossible for him to root out. There is nothing impossible. There are no hopeless cases in God. He is there for all of us. Psalm 51, 7 and 8 reads, purify me with hyssop, or purge me, and I shall be clean. Ceremonially, wash me, and I shall in reality. See, ceremonially wash me, but then in reality I will be clean. Whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness and be satisfied. And let, the bones which you have broken rejoice. What do you mean, breaking bones? What do you mean? Don't break my bones. Well, When David wrote this psalm, he wanted a deep cleansing of his sin nature. He didn't want this, you know, oh, it's a little dusty here. He wanted God to go in and pull out that lust and pull out that part of him that went after Bathsheba when he was supposed to be out doing the war and fighting. He wanted that dead. He wanted that cleansed. That part of him that had Uriah killed, he wanted that brought to death. This is before the cross. Think about how much David and how close David was to the Lord, even without Jesus. Hyssop is a detergent. They used to use it to cleanse clothing. The cloth was beaten and pounded on the rocks to remove the dirt. This purging is significant as the water of purification was sprinkled with hyssop. The blood of Christ, the blood of sprinkling, purges and removes guilt as well, so that we may rejoice completely set free from the bitter root of sorrow. Pastor Roy was talking a while ago about the bitterness and the bitter. You know, we sometimes we are sad because things have happened in our lives and we want something else to have happened. You know, that's a very unhealthy place to be. Because you need to thank God for where you are. Amen. And for what he's doing. And if you're all about what happened or what didn't happen, you're not living in the now, in the worship and praise of the living Christ. He's always doing something, always moving, always displaying his glory to us. So if we're not looking and listening, we're going to miss it. If we're sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves or wishing something else had happened, then we're in sorrow and we will end up with a bitter heart. Yes. Hyssop was also used to spread the blood over the doorposts in the original Passover. So hyssop has... there's a lot to be said about hyssop, but it is a detergent agent. It's an herb, and they used it to cleanse. So, the continual key to purity and power is a continual washing. Washing and filling. Unfilling and refilling. Letting go of the flesh and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in. Psalm 51, David's talking about the bones that God broke. The pain of a heart truly broken for sin can be compared to that of a broken bone. Have you ever been so sorry for your sin that you sobbed and wept before the king and asked him to help you, to heal you? True brokenness means losing all faith in our own abilities. Oh, but I'm strong and independent and I can do anything. No. Abandoning dependence on human resources, disavowing all outward pretensions of righteousness. Well, I read my Bible every day and la la la, whatever it is that you're standing on. I wash the dishes every night and whatever it is that you're saying. I keep my house nice and clean. I go to bed early every night and I don't watch yucky shows. All those things, you know, all those things you should be doing because you want to please God anyway. But that's not a badge of honor. That's because you don't want to displease the king. You want to cling to the Spirit of God as a lifeline. We have lifelines. Those lifelines are times where we can come together and plead and get strength from the Holy Spirit himself and stand with each other and learn more about who Jesus is. He is a lifeline. Cling to him. Brokenness is a prerequisite for experiencing the fullness of God's power. Anybody tells you you're going to be on fire and you're going to have all this power and you're not going to cost you anything is lying. Brokenness produces wholeness. We want to be whole. Your flesh has to be broken. Let God break the fleshly patterns. Listen, flesh cannot be rehabilitated. It has to be crucified. Let's say that. Crucified. Crucified. Now listen, we have crucifixion moments, all of us, all day long. Some of them are bigger and some of them are smaller. Some of them you're going to choose whether to have pizza or a salad for lunch. You know, that may not seem like a big deal, but if you keep having pizza for lunch, eventually you're going to be having salad every day for a week. Ew. Or you're not going to fit in your clothes after a while. You know, if you don't clean your house, you can say, I don't feel like washing the dishes. I don't feel like, I'm being silly. But, you know, you all live in a house, and you know what happens if you don't clean it. After a while, the dust is this big. That happened to me a couple of months ago. I dropped something on the floor in my bedroom. Now, I don't vacuum my bedroom very often because we're only up there to sleep, you know. It's a nice rug. You don't see the dirt. I dropped something on the floor. And I went, oh, my God. I mean, the dust. You could see this, you know, little layer of dust.
It's under the rug.
I said, oh, Marie, what is wrong? So I had to go right down and bring, I did it immediately. I went down right downstairs and got my vacuum cleaner and vacuumed the rug. But, you know, that's what happens in every area of our lives that we don't take care of, right? If I don't water the flowers and weed the beds in my yard, weeds grow. That's what happens. So, these crucifixion moments, I'm offering light choices, but you and I know that there are very big choices in our lives. What kind of job are we going to do? Are we going to cheat on our taxes? Are we going to cheat on our husbands or our wives? Are we going to take care of our children? Are we going to, you know, rack up our credit cards? All these things, they're all like, oh my God, what are we doing? What am I doing to glorify God and deny myself? Scripture says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. And I'm not talking to anybody specific. I'm just things that are coming up in my mind. I have my own things that I have to deal with, my own flesh. In every moment, in these crucifixion moments of choice, there are two choices. You can either walk in the spirit or you can walk in the flesh. You can have fleshly life, which at the time may feel wonderful, or you can have the power of an indestructible life. Hebrews 7:16. These moments, we can walk away or we can enter into the sin. We can be self-centered or God-centered. Those are the choices. There's no middle road. So we want to allow the Lord to forge holy, true patterns in our hearts. When our flesh is broken, His Spirit is released. His holiness, His standard of righteousness can be carved into your spirit core so that is that there's no doubt or question as to where you belong. You will remain steadfast, fixed, immovable, and not subject to wavering, totally focused. Psalm 16:8 and 9 reads, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. Embrace continual brokenness to receive security in Christ. Now, we use this scripture a lot at RCF, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us with an unveiled face. This is how it happens. It's not where you say, okay, I'm not going to eat candy anymore, and you will. No. You have to come before the Lord and say, I love candy. I want to eat it every day and a million pounds of it, and I don't really care. I love chocolate. You know, in moderation. But if I go before the Lord and tell Him that confession, then he can come and stop me from buying the candy bar the next time I'm in the store. Because my will have been broken and submitted to his will. And I will be able to choose with an unveiled face, continuing to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. This comes from the Lord, who is that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Amen. Let me tell you something. You cannot do this for anybody else. You can pray for them, but you cannot do it for them. You can pray for them, but you cannot do it for them. Each of us has to choose. So how? I just gave you one. You look at Jesus with an unveiled face. You look at the Word of God with an unveiled face. You surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit with an unveiled face, telling him the truth about who you are, who you aren't, the good, bad, and the ugly. I loved that movie when it came out. Lee Marvin, I think, was in it. And you know, since then, the Lord has coined that phrase for me, the good, bad, and the ugly. My life, good, bad, and the ugly. It's not just good or bad. It's the good, bad, and the ugly. Sometimes it's pretty ugly. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And make no room for anything else. Are you listening to me? Make no room for anything else. If you open the door a crack, guess what's going to come in? Even if you open a little bit like this, and then what's going to happen? A little bit. And you get the magic jigsaw puzzle. No, kidding. You end up in bondage. But see, the same way that it's open like this. Oh, now it's mobile strike. When it's open like this, see, you close it. You don't close it like this. You close it. Say, no. Not going down that road anymore. And every time the temptation, no. Because if you don't, then it's going to be like this all the time. And you'll be like this all the time, right? Seesaw, knock at the door. Who's there? The devil. This exemplifies a way of living in which every thought or your demonically inspired flesh. It's not always just the devil. Sometimes it's you. Okay. This exemplifies a way of living in which every thought. This is why we say it, take every thought into captivity. You have the mind of Christ. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Every thought, every word, every act is an expression of total dependence on the Father. It is something to work towards. It's something that you do want to work towards, right? Faith is the air in our lungs and the blood in our veins. It's the active ingredient in our spiritual composition. So how did Jesus do it? You know, Jesus is our example. How did he do it? I tell you the truth. The Son of God can do nothing by himself. He gave up his deity when he came to the earth and was born as a child. He is the Son of Man. He did not use his divinity to overcome. He used the Holy Spirit's presence in the Son of Man. And you know why that's so amazing? Because that says we can do it too. Because he was a man, and we are human. Jesus, the Son of God, can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Oh, can I see what the Father is doing? Yes, you can. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him. And shows him all that he does. John 5:19-20. Only what the Father does. Jesus was the vehicle for the activity of the Father who lived in him. Who is living in us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, all of them, the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God on the earth. Positionally, God is up on the throne and Jesus is sitting next to him. But they're three in one. We have the same capacity inside of us. So we have to see and hear what our Father is doing. And hearing implies action. It's not, oh, I hear you telling me to go make cupcakes for my neighbor, but I'm going to watch TV instead. So no, if he tells you to do something, you have to do it. Hearing implies an action. So go make those cupcakes for the new neighbor that just moved in down the street. I hear you, Lord, I will. We have to remain actively engaged in a communicative relationship with the Lord. You can hear God speak to you. Check out if there's sin. Check out the last time you worshiped. Check out the last time you were in the Word. Check out the last time you separated yourself and just sat and spent time with your Creator. Colossians 2:9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. In other words, Christ is full of God and you are full of Christ. I am full of Christ. Are you full of Christ? Let's say that together. I am full of Christ. 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 So this is what's happening. Hebrews 12:27-29. Where we're living right now. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken. That is, of that which can be created. In order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. So if you're being broken in an area, you can know that God is shaking the tree. Doing is shaking. He wants that finished in you. And he will not. God is relentless. He is relentless. He will come after you and come after you, especially if you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian who loves him. He will come after you until he has his way. And so, you know, in Psalm 119, it says, I have learned through sanctified experiences what the deep, dark will of God is. No. The light and the glory of the living Christ. Psalm 119. All that cannot be shaken may remain and continue. So here, let us, therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. And the end of that scripture is, for our God, is a consuming fire. If you consider that God is a consuming fire and you invite him into your heart, he is going to burn you up. Because he is a consuming fire. And you know what? It's what we want, isn't it? Isn't it what we want? Don't we want to look like Jesus? Up in those mountains where the hind lives, the air is pure and the view is pristine. And distractions are far below and there are paths just big enough for you and Jesus. When the Lord gave me this verse, it was more than a month ago. He just started to talk to me about what he wants from me and what he expects from me and what he's going to do for me. It's pretty amazing. When I'm all clean, I feel like a little kid. That's what I feel like. I feel like a little kid, and Jesus loves me. You remember being a little kid and just feeling like all was right with the world? And God is just so there, And that's what he wants for each one of us. He wants us to be cleansed and purified. So the climb is a little challenging up to the high place, but it's worth it, isn't it? I know I'm not alone, but those hind feet are yours, and that's the equipment that God has given us. Every motion of the hind is followed through with single focused consistency, making it the most sure-footed of all the mountain animals. So that's what we want to be. We want to have feet like hind feet. We want God to be our strength, our personal bravery, and our invincible army. And we want to walk in the power of an indestructible life. That means that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you can condemn. I'm condemning them, but you can condemn them. I was talking to somebody recently, and they said that in their church, they were used to the pastor and the different people that were involved in the hierarchy of the church. They were raised in a church where they had a lot of guest speakers and they had a lot of people coming in doing worship. You know, there was a lot of movement and activity. You know, so they're not really getting to minister too much. And then she said, but RCF is like where everybody does everything. And everybody is able to do everything because we are all ministers of Christ, aren't we? So it's interesting. There are a lot of churches around the world. There's a lot of groups. But I'm going to just leave you with this. When I start feeling like my life may be a little bit difficult, which it's not at all, but sometimes I feel that it is, and I feel wounded or hurt or not happy or whatever, wanting something different than what's going on in my life. I remember the church in China who cannot meet, who go into basement caves and they can't sing out loud. They just lift their hands and they say, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. But there's a union and a communion with those groups of believers that is so powerful. And that encourages me. And then I have another book that I read called The Midnight Bride. It was written by Richard Wurmbrand. And it's about people who have been persecuted for walking the gospel in other places. I'm not going to go into it, but let me tell you something. I have to repent for what I think that I need to have. They stick them up on spits and rip their arms off. Children roast them on the fire. One guy, they stuck a thing in the back of his head, and very slowly, every day, they stuck a nail in the back of his head until he died. Because he was a Christian. Because he was a Christian. And I'm not going to say anything else, but I read that book because it strengthens me in what I have to suffer. And I do suffer. I am persecuted for my faith where I am. But you know what? I've never had nails driven in my head. I've never had my fingernails pulled. None of this has ever happened to me. So how dare I complain? How dare I complain? So we want hind's feet. We want hind's feet on our high places. We want to walk in the patterns of the gospel, the godly, living, breathing, loving God. And you know what? These people that are being persecuted and martyred, they do it with great joy. And they worship God because they are so in love with Jesus. They are so in love with him. And they have such a power and an understanding of who he is that they would gladly give up their lives. Gladly suffer to be persecuted. They would never deny the living Christ. So in love with Jesus. He's so amazing. So let's pray. Lord, we want more of you. We want more of you, Lord. And we're willing to be broken. We're willing to put our flesh on the line. And there is something that you can do right now You can envision the cross. You could do it when you get home. Write a cross on a piece of paper and write on that cross that thing that you're struggling with right now that you may not want to give up. You can say, I don't want to give this up, but I know that it's wrong, and I know it's not what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know that it's not pleasing to you, so I'm giving this to you. I'm asking you to change me from the inside out, because that's how God moves. He doesn't change the outside patterns. He changes the inside. He comes in and lives in you. And living in you, he changes you from the inside out. Because he's a holy God. He wants to live in a holy dwelling place. You are his dwelling place. Lord, we thank you that you are loving us enough that you come and live in our dwelling places. I pray that you would cleanse each one of us in a new way and bring us to a place of just wanting to please you. And we just thank you, Lord, that we come from a place of being accepted and loved by you, because your word says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So we thank you that we have been set free, that we're your children and you love us. So we just submit and surrender ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. We are having food downstairs. So if you can stay and have coffee and food. I know somebody made some delicious pasta something or other. Fazool, I don't even know. I made some chicken salad. There's coffee. So bless God. If anybody wants prayer, I'm here. Pastor Roy is here. We're here.